RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
The show is back. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin, two more days in 2025, 5 hours to go today. That open, courtesy of Mac Robinson on the board.
Yes.
We got Jax Gregory holding down the 92.3 The Fan YouTube fort. Make sure to like the videos. We like to be liked. Make sure to subscribe to 92.3 The Fan's YouTube. Jack's also doing some producing for us. We got Katie Pollock, or as I was about to call her, Patie Collick, because I'm apparently a moron on the 2020s. Hi, JP. How you doing?
Hello. How's it going today?
I'm actually pretty spry for a Tuesday.
I can tell that you're spry for a Tuesday. Well, I mean, Tuesdays are fine, but this is like a hump day Tuesday, kind of. It's like the middle of our week.
It's weird. It's a lot of different days for us this week.
A lot. And so we're just taking it in. I'm doing a day-by-day approach this week.
Doing the hair treatment, right?
One day at a time. Yeah, the day hair by treatment?
Yeah, you've never... The Hair the Musical, day by day? No,
I've never seen Hair the Musical.
Okay. Well, some of us have lived... Some of us really went to church, and others are you.
I forgot you did plays, and you did everything like that.
I was not in the Hair Musical.
Yeah, I know, but you're a big musical guy. You're a big play guy. I'm just not.
This was actually, the Hair Musical was actually at the old church there in Medina County. I can't remember exact, Cross Point Church.
I'm sure they did a version of it there. Yes,
they
did. They did a lot of versions. Hair got played in a lot of places.
My dad played Judas, slapped the preacher, bang biscuit.
Slap the preacher?
Yeah, like not as a preacher. He was the preacher was Jesus. Because Jesus is in the
movie. So his role in the show was to slap Jesus?
I mean, that was part of it. I feel like we're being a little reductive to the role of Judas and Hair, but yes.
You said slap the preacher, then you said the preacher was Jesus.
Okay, but in fairness,
he actually slapped the version of Jesus?
In character, he was Judas, and Judas slaps Jesus in this, and the preacher happened to be Jesus.
Are people signing up for this? I mean, that's got to be
quite the... The preacher said, don't you pull that punch.
And the preacher said, don't hold back?
In the name of the Lord, you follow through. Randy Kamar's tough, I'll tell you that right now.
I mean,
afraid of being slapped. That's what you get when you go to Mogador.
I do always think it's phony when you find out in movies later on that the person didn't even take a real slap. It's like, for a movie, you can take a slap.
It's called acting.
No, I know, but like for certain roles, for certain things, give me the genuine, authentic slap. Give me the real.
What does that add to anything?
It's a slap. Like I found out one. I think Michael Cera had one where he was like, "I just refused to take a slap because I didn't want to be knocked unconscious." And it was like a slap from like some famous female celebrity.
No, it's
at the
Rihanna,
time.
And he got Rihanna. Really slapped Rihanna. And he broke his eardrum.
Yeah, and they're like, "You have to really do it, like celebrate it, get into it," and then it's like, and then he did it, and I felt much better about
then
the
he
whole
had vertigo.
Everything. Yeah. Was vertigo because of the slap?
Yeah, got slapped so hard because she slapped him in the ear instead of the face.
What a pansy. I mean, what a pansy. Just the whole story sounds like you let Rihanna get the best of you there?
As opposed to, you get slapped in the eardrum. Anybody gets slapped in the eardrum, you're going to get vertigo.
It's such
vertigo.
A Michael Cera story, though. I don't know.
Have you ever been cuffed in the ear just once? It hurts.
No.
It hurts.
I don't think I have.
Things that shouldn't hurt as bad as they do hurt. One, getting punched in the nose.
I wouldn't tell anybody.
It should not hurt as bad as it does.
If Rihanna slapped me on a movie set and I got vertigo, I wouldn't tell anybody that was the reason why.
You wouldn't have a choice. Vertigo. You don't have a choice with vertigo. You get incredibly dizzy.
I have a choice if I tell people why it happened and made it into a whole story.
But, well, okay, but so...
I'm letting that one die with me on my deathbed. I'm letting that one go.
He had to go to his trailer. They had to go to his trailer and lay down. They lost a day of shooting because of it.
They lost a whole day of shooting because of it?
I was going to say, I got bubble guts.
I feel like you're making that up. They lost a whole day of shooting because of it?
I'm not. I've seen the same stories you have. I've just retained different information than you have.
I also don't know how much I believe these at this point, because every now and then it just feels like things go on my Facebook feed and my Twitter feed, and they're all these movie quote-unquote facts that aren't actually facts. That's the 2025.
Hollywood
we're in.
Doesn't tell the truth. I, for one, am shocked.
That's the 2025 that we're currently living in. But yeah, big musical guy Nick Wilson. I'm just not. It is what it is.
And ironically, I don't have a lot of hair left. So again, life has got a lot of levels to it. But we are one day closer to the Cincinnati game. One day closer to the end of the regular season and potentially the Kevin Stefanski era in Cleveland, and I thought it was interesting. We talked a little bit yesterday about the Josina Anderson report that the Browns had kind of done some background work, talked with Chris Greer, the former Dolphins GM, and Tom Telesco, the former Raiders and Chargers GM, and basically kind of said it was kind of due diligence. It was kind of working through their process of what changes they may or may not make. And it's funny. I didn't take that to automatically mean Barry's cooked and Stefanski's gone. I think some people did.
I mean, I looked at it as that way. And I don't know about the second part of that, but if you're doing preliminary discussions, I guess maybe you're just getting your feet wet. Is that all you saw it as?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of times that organizations do due diligence on things at the end of the season in December and then don't make a change. I just can't recall a time that's happened in Cleveland. I know of other times where they've had preliminary conversations, whether it's with agents, with other executives, vetting the field that might be out there just to know their options. And I know this has happened in Atlanta with Arthur Blank at least once. I know it happened in Carolina with Tepper at least once, which is funny because he's fired people as quickly as Jimmy Haslam has. I know it's definitely happened in Miami at least once as well. Well, and by the way, there's the Tom Brady vetting thing that never happens.
Some people do live with the idea that before you fire a guy, you have to know the person that you want to have as the replacement. I don't know that I subscribe to that fully, but that is a thought that some people have out there.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting about this year is I think the due diligence, I think you better be real clear. Not necessarily who you're going to hire, but if you're going to fire Stefanski or Barry, you better be very confident that your process is where it's going to need to be to get the hires right.
Well, and why this is important, and we just saw this play out in the college game, is that you don't want to end up being Penn State. You don't want to end up being Michigan. Now, they got saved that they ended up with two pretty good head coaches, but throughout that entire process, it looked like they were waiting for someone to throw them a safety net, somebody to come out and save the day, so it didn't seem like they didn't really know who they wanted before firing James Franklin, before moving off of Sherrone Moore. Like, it's tough. You have to have your ducks in a row a little bit.
Yeah, and I think specific to this year, I think, all right, so there's a catch-22 here. On one hand, I don't think there are jobs that are easily, definitively better than your job. I think a lot of this coaching market is going to depend on how people feel about Shador, about the quarterback spot, your ability to get a quarterback, Haslam, who you keep in power.
But it depends
right?
what jobs do open up, too, yeah, though. Well, I mean, Zach Taylor is gone, then that changes it. If John Harbaugh gets fired out of Baltimore, that changes things.
I would be surprised if either guy got fired. But of the conceivable jobs right now, I'm not afraid of losing a coach to the Raiders. I'm not afraid of losing the coach to the Giants, especially because I think it would be Stefanski if you fired him. And I sure as hell am not afraid of the Titans.
Right, but you have to be afraid of what your perception is to certain head coaches out there. And I think this is where the due diligence comes into play.
Fair. No, you're being 100% fair. I guess my thing is there's no coach right now. There's no Sean Payton. There's no Mike Vrabel. Ben Johnson, I will see with Ben Johnson. I know he's turned into something because of one good year. I guess if you go out there and there's a coach with spots on his track record that goes, I don't know about Cleveland, we'll be like, well, I don't really know about you either. Like, I guess that's actually, so this is, okay, so I don't think there's a lot of great jobs where you have to fear, oh, the only good candidate's going to get siphoned up. I think it's tricky because I think this search could go in a million different ways. And I think the wrong search takes you 2 years away from competitiveness, and I think the right search has you next year is a very competitive team, whether that's a 7-win team or a 10-win team.
I just think you don't want to end up in a situation where you're looking around and you're realizing, oh no, the guy we just fired, you fired him, you have to stay committed with that, but the guy you just fired has a better perception around the NFL than anybody that we're going to hire. That I think is the part that they're scared of, and so you do your due diligence, you find out who's even open to coming and being the head coach for Jimmy Haslam, and if you get an upgrade, you get an upgrade.
So I think what's been interesting is, though, with the Josina report, it was, oh, well, they're doing this for general managers, which would fit into the theory that maybe Andrew Berry gets a better job title, a promotion, because he's just so good at his job, but we don't want to fire him, and then you hire a new GM under him. That hasn't really spoken to the Browns' process with the head coaches until Jeremy Fowler went on the This Is Football podcast with Kevin Clark, and talked about teams that have done their due diligence specifically on the coaching market.
So I've informally set the over-under on 6 jobs. We have 2 of them open. We'll see. I don't think it's going to be a year where we have 8 or 9 openings. I just don't. I'd be surprised. But there are some 50-50s out there. You know, Cleveland, Las Vegas, those are 2 places I see as like, you know, they've done their preliminary research for a potential move. Doesn't mean they're locked into doing it or that they've decided yet, but those are certainly on my radar. That would make 4.
So similar to the Jocino report, when I've seen Browns fans react to this, even though he says it's not a lock, people have taken it to mean it is a lock.
Yeah, it's funny because in one report with Jocino, I don't take it as a lock that it's costing Andrew Berry his job. And again, even with Stefanski, it's not a lock, but you definitely read that as, oh, this isn't good for Stefanski. There's no part of you that reads, okay, this is trending towards the right direction for Stefanski.
I don't know. Or the Browns just got to a point where they were a 3-win team and said, we're open to keeping Kevin, but we've got to know what's out there if we want to go that direction.
It just wouldn't give you a lot of confidence if you're Stefanski. Like if let's say for this job right here, if all of a sudden the station was having people in and was giving people shows and were telling them under the idea of like
going the FAN route.
Yeah, like oh yeah, exactly right. But you wouldn't feel confident about it. You'd be like, oh no, maybe they keep me for another year, maybe they don't. But clearly they're interested in something else.
I mean, I will tell you, I think coaches are way more hip to this stuff than fans are. I think coaches hear this stuff all the time because of their agents. I think there have been plenty of coaches who have thought – John Harbaugh is one of them. John Harbaugh, I can't remember if it was 2018 or 2019. One of those years after the Super Bowl run, thought he was getting fired or thought it was going to be a parting of terms, and he's been the coach 7 years later. Like, I think coaches understand that this is part and parcel with – I think we make it out like coaches get offended when this kind of stuff happens, and sometimes it does happen. I think this stuff is all very – procedural.
No, I don't know that they're offended, but because I heard Andy Reid today talking about they're like, well, I'll be back if they'll have me back. This is the nature of the NFL. Like, but even he had to play it in such a way to be like, you guys are stupid for asking this question, but like, I my job should be safe. But this is the NFL, and the NFL, you just never feel safe about anything. And so, but within saying that, there are, 20 people across the NFL that this offseason aren't going to have their GMs and their owners doing preliminary talks. Like, it doesn't put you in a good spot.
No. I mean, it means they're open to making a change. I just don't think it's fait accompli. I agree with Withers. Today, I thought he did a great job. We'll play the quick clip at some point in the show. And Tom was like, he thinks Sunday matters for Stefanski. And I agree. I think the Pittsburgh and Buffalo games have opened this up of, oh, wait now, 1 second. They're still playing hard. If you get to 5 wins, if the read on this that Jimmy has been open-minded and wants to wait till the final whistle is sounded to make his final decision, then the last 3 games of the season should matter. They should. Whether you and I agree with the decision, whether you and I lambaste them for bringing back Kevin Stefanski, if that's what happens if you beat Cincinnati, I think if he's being true to his process that we've heard through reports, yeah, this Pittsburgh win should go in a feather in the cap of Kevin Stefanski, and I think Cincinnati should as well, no matter whether the due diligence has been done or not.
I guess maybe the point is that I'm not going to let one report dictate what I think or don't think about this stuff, and if it's preliminary conversations or not, doesn't really bother me one way or another. I think he will be fired. I maintain that I think he will be fired, and if he doesn't, is that just because they didn't find anybody this offseason that they want to replace him with, and we're just kicking the can down the road till next year?
I think
that'll be a legitimate shot for him to be the guy for even 3, 4, 5 years down the road.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to bring – I think Jimmy's done this enough that I don't think Jimmy's going to bring them back just to be on the hot seat next year. I think after
well,
the Hugh Jackson –
you'd start next year on
I
the
think
hot
after
seat.
The, I think, well, there's the fan hot seat, and then there's the real hot seat. I think this is – I think he understands how much damage the Hugh Jackson thing did to the start of the Baker Mayfield era, which then – threw everything off and probably ends up why you're here. Like if you really want to get to the failings of this organization since they drafted Baker Mayfield, the one thing you could change that might holistically change everything is just fire Hugh Jackson at the end of 2017. Right? Like that was a scenario where they got it wrong. Jimmy was keeping him to say,
well, Hugh,
I didn't fire
Hugh,
a guy after 2
no,
years.
No, he kept him because Hugh did his bidding. Hugh did exactly what they told him to do. They lost a bunch of games. It was in his contract. He got bonuses for losses. Like that's why they didn't fire him.
I think there was a lot more complex. I think in part of it was Jimmy didn't want to be seen as firing another head coach after 2 years. I'm not saying you're wrong about the he was part of tanking. I'm not saying you're wrong about that.
I'm not wrong about that.
Cool. Then we agree.
Yeah.
Good to see that ego not showing out early.
It's not ego. It's reported. It's like it's out there. That's
fact. So was the thing I'm saying.
I'm not disagreeing with what are you saying? What are you? What am I countering to what you're saying? You agreed with what I said.
So to move it forward, I think Jimmy. I hope Jimmy has learned. If you're really just keeping around a guy because you don't want to fire him, or because well, it's not a great cast of this, or whatever the excuse is, but you maybe next year we'll readdress it. Then Kevin's already fired. That's your answer. So I think if you're going to bring him back, you're not bringing him back with, well, we'll talk about this again next year. Yes. You bring him back because you think he's the guy going forward, and then only another 3-14 season would change things.
I would hope they think that way. If they did go down that road, because that would show commitment to him. I don't know that they do. Again, this is part of why when they don't speak to anybody, we get no insight into how they think or don't think. And when you're dealing with Haslam, we know he deals on a whim consistently. So like, are you bringing him back next year to give him a 4-year runway? I also think that's crazy to be like, here you got 10 years while winning one playoff game. Like, I think that's an awful thing. But this all goes back to the front of it. The front of it is I can't see a scenario where he possibly comes back, and it's guided by that. Like that thinking that you're giving out right there, that if you bring him back next year, he signed up for 3 or 4 more years. I can't possibly do that. There's no part of me that can possibly do that.
You and me, I don't know if I honestly, and you're fair to point out the idea of there's not they don't really speak to anybody about this. I do not know as of today what's going through Jimmy Haslam's head.
And that's the wild card in all of this. That's why anybody that says
Jimmy is a wild card.
That's why anybody that says they can consistently or they can confidently say one way or another what Jimmy will do is just I don't know how you can at this point. I can tell you what I think, you can tell us what you think, but in regards to how Jimmy thinks, he's a wild card.
216-474-0092. You heard the Jeremy Fowler clip there from the This Is Football podcast. Browns a 50-50 for a new coach. They've done research. Do you think that means Stefanski's fired? I tend to agree with Tom Withers. I do think this is, whether I would fire him or anybody else would fire him, I do think this is coming down to Cincinnati as well. We got quick hits coming up at 2:40 today. We've got the Peterlin Pass coming up at 3:40 today. John Fanta, I forgot this. John Fanta coming up at 3:20 today, jumping up an hour. We'll talk with him about the Browns search and the Cavs and I don't know, they beat the Spurs. Enjoy that. The Albert Breer interview coming up at 5:20 today of MMQB. We've got Lance Reisland of Cleveland.com coming up at 6 o'clock. And more reaction here, but 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Is Kevin Stefanski fired? And what Troy Aikman said about quarterbacks probably pertains to head coaches as well. That's coming up in...
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
For the team, a good spokesperson, a good manager of people and all of those kind of things. You see how hard the players worked for him on Sunday. I mean, you don't get that if guys don't want to be playing for their head coach. You just don't get that. So I think there are plenty of reasons for him to stick around. But having said that, I sort of feel like there's almost a vibe of, you know, a change is in the air. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but it almost feels like there's something brewing. I don't know what it is.
Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com. Hall of Famer. Got to throw that one out there. I don't think I've said Hall of Famer yet on the air about her, and she is a Hall of Famer.
Hoff.
I did when she was here with us, but I haven't said it since. And so she's a Hall of Famer. So if you don't like that.
She signed like her checking account and everything with Hoff at the end of it.
She should.
I think it's really funny when people make the Hall of Fame in the NFL and they carry that over like every signature. And I always wonder how that, like, where does that end? Like, if you go to the bank and you sign it Joe Thomas, HOF, and put the class on the end of it, you're clearly, that's not right. You shouldn't be doing that. But
disagree.
But also, you got, there's a sense of pride there. So, and everyone at the bank knows what you did.
So here's the thing.
It's not like it's new news to anybody.
I can say right now, I've changed my positioning on this. If you were not a medical doctor and you signed things, doctor, whatever, I used to have a problem with that. And now, having had to work as hard as I have in life at anything to be any amount of success, I'm like, it's really hard to get a doctorate. You should be a doctor. I don't care if you're a medical doctor. That's on my dumb brain to distinguish. Yeah. Write doctor in front of everything. You should have something for every. You should be like bachelor's. If you completed college, double bachelor's. Fine.
See, now that was a nice thing until you did the bachelor's part of this.
No.
This is my mom's never ending, like, what happens here, because she refers herself as Dr. Peterlin because she has a doctorate, but it's not a medical doctorate, right?
And so the doctor is in.
And so, she did everything she needed to do to get the doctorate. She did, that's the thing. She got her PhD. She did all that, but it's like, and she gets to, like, by the letter of how it works, call herself doctor, but she's not a medical doctor. And there are enough people out there that'll be like, doesn't count. You're not a medical doctor. You're misleading people almost. But I'm like, who cares?
And yeah, I say you respond to those people.
Make a different designation. She worked really hard.
Go become a doctor and tell me it doesn't matter.
Well, that's why the medical doctors sign everything MD, you know, because that's like the true, you know, hey, I'm a medical doctor.
See, by the way, if I was like an LPN, if I was like the highest level, I'd sign that bleep too. Celebrate your success, people. Now,
we could sign ours SRH, sports radio host, and we're just give designations to everything.
I was just going to do Nick Wilson hack. That's what I was going to do.
That works, too. Yeah, that works, too.
Absolutely. Blowhard.
And
that was another
one. Also how Weird Al signs it, too.
Yeah.
Oddly enough. Yeah. By the way,
I heard from our guy Logan Bruce yesterday.
I don't love hearing that, because I don't know that I was the kindest to Logan Bruce, unless he had a good time.
I thought he had a good sense of humor about it. He said thank you for playing his music. And
yeah,
they,
that's all Logan should really care about,
right? He did say...
Yeah, he's got to throw something in there.
I do have original music. And we're like, thanks, buddy.
You're like, we don't want to play those, though, but thanks. Maybe Q does, though, or
that's
maybe
true.
Maybe one of the other
NCX,
stations.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this is just doors
we
open
have a country,
for Logan.
But maybe we can get a country station if you want one.
He can come over and use our lounge studio that we have and do some performances for the sales staff like some people do.
That's true.
That's a thing that artists do around here.
I think we should have a special show for that from the lounge one day. I don't know
like what
for.
Me and you?
Yeah.
Doesn't Baskin and Phelps every now and again have done shows from the lounge?
Yeah, and I think we could do it better than them.
Well, I'm not okay, but it's not like the lounge cares about the quality that's coming out of this.
That's true.
The lounge just exists.
It's like the casting couch. It just happens to be there. Whoever uses it, uses it.
It's like a revolving door of audiences that just live in the lounge and just wait for performances. And they judge like the two Muppets at the top of the theater.
You walk by and they like get really excited. And then you walk down the stairs like, oh.
Oh.
Thought it was also Adam correctly pointing out on Twitter that I referenced hair and I meant Godspell. Oh, Mac pointing at me. Mac, bleep you. You couldn't have saved a fat man there?
I had somebody call in after you guys were already in the middle of your topic last segment there, calling to correct you on that.
I'm no longer the musical guy.
I thought you were the musical guy. What happened?
Now, apparently all that hair that I lost also was my musical theater knowledge. I was wrong.
I would have taken that convo for 25 more minutes and had no understanding that you were wrong in describing the musical that you were describing.
And then Lord of the Drip OG.
Never would have got it.
On the 92.3 The Fan YouTube chat channel.
Drop those corn emojis.
Drop those corn emojis. Saying that he's counting on us to keep him awake for the next 3 hours, which...
Me too. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Longer. Till 7.
Yeah, we got
to
be here.
And hopefully to like 7:30 because you got to get home safe. Troy Aikman had this point on Monday Night Football last night, talking about Matt Stafford, which is a little weird because Matt Stafford was a supremely, supremely, supremely talented and successful quarterback before he got to Sean McVay. But I think he made a point about quarterbacks and how organizations impact quarterbacks and vice versa that I think we can kind of transpose to head coaches.
I think there's been a lot of quarterbacks that have been drafted high who have left the game and have been labeled a bust. And I think it's unfair because I do feel that organizations and coaching has failed quarterbacks more than quarterbacks have failed organizations.
And I mean, this is popping up a ton right now. Obviously, it's Baker, it's Darnold, it's Geno Smith. It's all these guys that absolutely, you know, it felt like the NFL left them for dead. And then they've had successful stops elsewhere and later on in their career as well.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I believe this. And I think when you look to a guy like Sam Darnold, I think Kevin O'Connell brought out the quarterback that probably was always meant to be there with Sam Darnold. Maybe not a franchise quarterback, but a really good quarterback. Adam Gase and then Matt Rhule, I think they damn near ruined the guy. I think those things are fair to say. And I don't think this has happened with Kevin here. Because I think one thing that the national media has continued to get wrong with Kevin is Kevin's own fault with how the Browns have gone the last 6 years. But I do think there have been head coaches the Browns have ruined. I think Mike Patton was 100% ruined by impatient ownership.
Well, so if quarterbacks can be ruined by places, can head coaches be ruined by places too? And I think that's the argument that Stefanski's going to have in going out into the other part of the NFL world is just that. Like, that's his big argument, is that the Browns ruined me. The same way that all these other quarterbacks that leave Cleveland for a brief moment in time get to also say, hey, wait, I think that was the Browns that did it, not me. Now, where I would have an argument with this, and I do think it's very, very possible that the Browns, at the end of the day, just ruined Stefanski in some way. But, like, my big thing with Stefanski has been that he's been the same coach he was when he entered, and he hasn't really updated anything when it comes to when you watch him not only call games offensively, which he doesn't even do anymore, but also the idea that, like, his schemes and everything. He used to be so creative. He used to be so good. He was ahead of the game within motion and offenses and all these different things. And then they've just kind of – it's just kind of gone away. And it felt like as the NFL world got better at beating quarters coverage, for instance, and they got better at beating some of the things that were taking away what Mahomes does very well, Stefanski wasn't able to update his profile on that. And that's where I feel like if that's a lack of want to because you don't have the personnel to do it, or if that's a lack of creativity, something happened with Stefanski that did change him.
So – I this is where I actually am willing to go. Like, I think if we go back in a DeLorean and say, don't pay him a fully guaranteed contract, Jimmy! It's a disaster!
Yeah, that was good.
That's Doc Brown.
Yeah, that was good.
And not Adam the Bull. Sorry. Just want to make sure that we're clear. Because those two impressions, for me, sound incredibly the same.
It did sound a lot alike. But I thought it was a good Doc Brown.
Okay, thank you.
Until you said Adam, it didn't even cross my mind.
But I do think that... I think that's a pivotal point where I think it stopped Kevin being able... I think so much of the creativity and evolution, all the things you're talking about, are simply because you have the same quarterback or stability at the quarterback position, which because Deshaun was neither healthy nor not suspended for any one of the seasons he's been here, made that kind of evolution impossible, and you were consistently just stuck in a base offense.
Yeah, and it's what it seems like. And that's and again, that maybe that's why there's some hope there if you give Stefanski better offensive players and that stability, that would get ignited again, and all of a sudden he'd go back to being what he was the first couple years here. I just, at this point, I got no proof that that's going to happen.
But I think to the idea that did Kevin Stefanski break the Browns, or did the Browns break Kevin Stefanski? I think the answer is, it's like an Ouroboros kind of answer. Like, it's yes, they broke each other. And I think most of the NFL will say the Browns broke Kevin Stefanski. And I think that's wildly I think I really don't like the painting of Kevin Stefanski as Oliver Twist asking for you know, rations, and Jimmy Haslam just wouldn't give him what he wants. I think that's wildly unfair to the situation, and I think it's just an incredible overcorrection to not just address a coach that you personally like failed in some pretty radical ways over the last 6 years.
It's almost, it lets him off the hook in some ways. Yeah. I hear you on that. But that's why, like, anytime I'll do any of these interviews, once he gets another job somewhere else, like, I'll bring up that idea that I just laid out. And you know, what's interesting is that we played that audio in the first segment, the Fowler audio, and Fowler is one of the first people I've heard kind of bring up the concept of him getting punished across the league for giving up play calling twice. And it's something that, like, it's just one of those things that for years, I went down to the idea that Stefanski would rather not have the job than give up play calling because he loves it so much, and it's stuff that he cared about so much, and that part, the creativity, all of it was stuff he loved. And he was just so easily just gave it up twice. It just doesn't. This version of Kevin is not the same version that we saw early on when we got here, and that's another proof positive to that.
216-474-0092. Did the Browns break Kevin Stefanski? We did play the Troy Aikman sound there from ESPN, kind of talking about how more organizations have ruined quarterbacks than quarterbacks have ruined organizations. We'll have more on this, and of course, if any reports come out on it as well, we'll get to that. But when we come back, a different way to look at Kevin Stefanski leaving the Cleveland Browns. In 5 minutes, on Browns. In Drive.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I almost called you JR because the guy on the
JR,
line
JR Sports Brief?
He's
not calling in?
This was a JR in Dallas.
He does have a lot of time on his hand
but
now,
he's disgusted by us trying to save Stefanski.
Tried to save Stefanski?
You know what? Let's bring JR real quick here. JR, you're disgusted. Tell us why you're disgusted.
Who tried to save him?
So, guys, I really am disgusted. The reason why is because you guys are just too analytical with the facts. I mean, true enough, this guy has won Coach of the Year twice.
What does that even mean?
Did you just say we're too good at our job?
We're too analytical with the facts?
Because I'll take that compliment if you got it.
That is a compliment, but you're missing the point. The guy truly sabotaged this young man by not giving him the fair opportunities, period. Now that the young man has succeeded everything that he tried to keep him from, now everybody is like, oh, kumbaya, maybe Stefanski will make it. I doubt it. And then the general manager, had it not been for him taking this shot and taking the heat from the true Cleveland
JR, you're new to the show. I'm going to do something that most hosts wouldn't do because it would just ruin everything for him. What is my name?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I said before I actually got on the phone, I should have remembered your name specifically because you're the more analytical, I believe.
And what is my partner's name?
I don't remember his name either.
Yeah, that's what I thought. We have been banging the drum that you are trying to bang here for months on end. Like if you paid attention to our show, and I get it, it's busy out there, JR. I understand it, but like. You're barking up the wrong tree with us here.
I'm truly not knocking you guys. I'm just saying you're trying to save Stefanski.
No, we haven't the entire time. That's why I'm telling you you're barking up the wrong tree, man.
I think what you're hearing is us trying to decide what they're going to do. I've fired Kevin Stefanski personally 3 times in the last 6 weeks. JP has also fired him many times. I think, like, half of our job is saying this is what I would do, and half is saying this is what – go ahead.
It sounds like you guys flipped, but you guys are right. You're right, but today I just had enough. I felt like you guys were literally trying to save his job.
No, because here's the thing, JR.
Coach for the Cleveland Browns anymore.
Jimmy Haslam might disagree. That call could not have gone worse for me. You're more analytical than he also – I was hoping I would have traded off.
Way more analytical than you.
He remembers my name – but then you're more analytical. I could have done that. Doesn't remember either name, and you're more analytical. JR, dead to me.
Am I not more analytical than you?
I don't care.
I didn't think that'd be something you'd even want,
I
by
just
the way.
Wanted an, I wanted some win in there, and I got no win. I got character assassination, name assassination. I don't know.
I mean, we weren't going to win, but like the point is that if you're calling up and saying this show of all shows is the one that is no, the morning show goes to the galas, okay? Like this show of all shows is the one that is supportive of Stefanski. You got it. You're out of your mind.
And one half of them sits in the 500s. The other can't be bothered.
Well, but that's why I asked him though. I said, then name our names, because if you're listening so much and you understand it, we say our names a decent amount. You said our names 3 seconds before you brought him on the air.
Yeah. Well, that was 3 seconds ago.
Right, you see how lack of a listening some people do? But I get it. I get it. You guys are busy out there. You got your days to go about. I understand it. It is what it is.
I don't. Listen harder. Let's get to quick hits.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world, Angel. To the sound bites you need to hear, hurry. It's quick hits.
All the reports about Kevin Stefanski is that he'll be a prime candidate if the Browns move on from him. Kevin Clark on the This Is Football podcast, this is a separate part of the podcast than what we played earlier, he pointed out the dangers of the Giants' job for Coach Kev.
Well, you mentioned New York. The reason I don't think it's a great job, if they keep Joe Shane, and increasingly all the Giants beat writers keep saying ownership wants to keep Joe Shane.
Yeah.
If they keep Joe Shane, it might end up being a one-year job there in with the Giants. Because if they go 3-14, then Joe Shane gets fired, and then your new GM comes and makes a decision. It's very dangerous. Unless you're going to come in and have a lot of autonomy, which I don't think Stefanski is at the Sean Payton level. Unless you have that, I think it's very dangerous to hit your wagon to a Joe Shane.
I think it's an incredible point, and I would, if this does happen, if Kevin gets fired and the Giants lust after him, I think Joe Shane's okay. I don't think you can put yourself in a position to be a lame duck head coach with a GM that's already a lame duck.
New Yorkers hate Joe Shane.
Do they do?
I mean, like, with a fiery passion, they can't stand him. They think that he is just a dodo bird. So, like, I tend to not think that he has done much. Really, a couple years ago, that draft was kind of embarrassing for many ways, where his kid was like, you have to take a quarterback, Dad. Like, you the HBO cameras were on him. You have to take a quarterback. And he just obviously just ignored that. Is one of the all-time funny moments for me in life. But, yeah, Joe Shane's not very good, and it's unfortunate.
I don't know he would do this. I don't. And I've speculated on this a couple times. I think if Kevin gets fired, he should take a year off. None of these jobs. You shouldn't jump from the Browns to the Titans.
So that's
the Giants' job isn't good unless they have the number one pick, and then you can choose between Dart and Mendoza. That changes it. But like,
so Fowler and company. Who's the other person on the podcast with him?
That'd be Kevin Clark.
Oh, that is Kevin Clark's podcast. Okay, yeah. I listened to it and I just didn't.
You
didn't
never
even
remember
phase,
his name?
Didn't even phase me any bit of it. None of it. No.
You want to talk about analytical? It was Jeremy Fowler.
Want to talk about analytical? There we go. But they brought that up as well. That idea of like, could you just sit out a year? Could you sit out a year and just not really, and just kind of wait for the best job? I think if Stefanski sits out a year, I think the football world is just going to forget about him.
Oh, I think it's Vrabel. I think the legend of Kevin Stefanski will grow with one season away from the Browns.
I don't think it'll work that way for him. I think it worked for Vrabel because Vrabel played in an AFC or coached in an AFC title game. And Tennessee, I mean, it will work, the idea that Tennessee just continued to show people why they were the problem. But with the Browns, everyone knows they're the problem already. If I'm Stefanski, I got to strike while the iron's hot.
It's a risk, but what I would say is the risk is you go a year, they forget about you as you've suggested, and you have to go be an OC somewhere.
Well, if you're an OC
the
and you're good,
the risk of taking a job now is you're an OC again in a year somewhere else. That's the same risk,
well,
right?
And you're an OC somewhere else a year from now, and you don't get another opportunity at it.
Well, no. But
like, that's it. Your second
you
head coaching
job
is it. Job
and you get fired.
That's what I'm saying.
You'll never be anything more than an OC again.
You're done. You're slotted in as OC for the next at least decade plus. They also, by the way, in that podcast, they referenced the idea that he'd go to Tampa Bay and fix Baker. And I said, oh, you don't know that relationship at all. You want to talk about two people that don't understand the dynamics? That's a swing and a miss.
How pissed would you be? No, I would be furious if Kevin couldn't stop Baker from being traded here, and then Kevin went down to Tampa and started winning playoff. I would be.
Nope.
I'd never forgive Kevin Stefanski.
It's past the point of anger.
Every time I see him, I give him the old DX crotch chop.
It would be past the point of anger. Yeah. You would just have to laugh because there'd be nothing else you could do in life in that moment.
Not true.
Some things happen.
Crotch chop.
There's always a crotch chop around the corner.
You know me. I think we should be able to boo other adults in public.
Chop in life. That in general. As a kid,
I'm not repressed. I have full.
Jeez. He's gonna do that thing where he grabs his family jewels, but it looks like he's yanking off a. He's like starting a lawnmower as he like yanks it back.
Phrasing. Thank you very much. Omaha! Thank you, Mac. You said it.
I know what
Everyone
I said.
Everyone heard it.
I didn't stumble through any bit of that.
Hey, Kevin. I got your quarterback right here.
That's what you seem like to me in my head. That's what you seem like. Right, is that what that was? I thought it was Doc Brown once again. Philip Rivers.
It's your jewels, Monty. Your jewels.
Jesus. You're lucky Verizon makes good equipment. It's very sturdy.
That was about me knocking this over, not the honka honka. For just everybody listening out there that isn't watching on the night, I didn't grab myself so hard it shook the station. Okay.
Why has it got to be my turn?
It's always your turn.
Phillip Rivers expected to sit out the Colts finale, ending the quarterback's remarkable comeback. That's how the headline has it. Remarkable comeback as the Colts went 1-7 down the stretch.
No one could have gone 0-3 with Phil.
He went 0-3 as a starter. They became the first team in 30 years to miss the playoffs, starting the season 8-2. Why are people celebrating this like this went awesome?
I don't know, but this is going to be the saddest Disney movie ever.
I think I saw someone joke.
Fat 45-year-old quarterback unretires to get the crap kicked out of him for three games.
Like, he delayed his Hall of Fame candidacy another 5 years for this, for 0-3.
But he did get 5 more years of NFL insurance for 75 kids.
That does matter.
I think he comes out in the wash here.
I actually think it. Now, does it make quarterbacking look bad that he didn't look horrible? He wasn't great. They didn't win games. He wasn't horrible, though.
Well, yeah, he didn't look horrible 5 years ago when he retired. He was still a competent quarterback. Yeah,
I know, but the idea is that 5 years later and not playing for a million years, you're supposed to look worse.
Well, but he did. He did not look as good as he did 4 years ago.
63% completion percentage, 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 544 yards in 3 games. Like, it could have gone disastrously. It could have been way worse than what this was.
The NFL if he just would have been like 0 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
Worse, but I do think the idea, everyone's always talks about like, oh, you can't take a year and a half off and then come back and try to play any football at all. It's like, he took 4 years, gained 4 years in life, and was like, he looked at least serviceable. Riley Leonard going to get the start this upcoming weekend. Who you got to be pissed off if you're Riley Leonard, you got to be like, we wasted 3 games for that.
If you're Riley Leonard, you should just be thankful for that NFL check. That's what you should be thankful for.
He seemed pissed.
Yeah, he went to Duke in Notre Dame. You think that guy's going to have a worldly perspective?
What are you saying about Duke and Notre Dame?
I'm saying he's had a very charmed existence being a quarterback at Duke and Notre Dame.
It's a very nice school.
And life has not tested him often. I'm going to say, really hadn't had a lot of adversity in life as Riley Leonard. Omaha! It'll make you better, Riley.
I don't know. Choosing between which really nice school you go to can pull your hair out.
I know.
A hard decision.
Choosing which 7-figure job you're going to have after you wash out of the NFL, it's tough. Am I going to be a banker? Am I going to be a different banker? I don't know. Browns currently own the 7th pick in the NFL draft, which is also the lowest they can go in the top 10. Theoretically, they could still have, I think it's as high as the number 2 pick. If they are stuck at 7,
yeah,
are you still stuck on it has to be a wide receiver or a tackle? Because I have a scenario that I think is going to be difficult to pass up.
Okay, yes, I am, and I am on the no defense in the first round crew, okay? And so this is going to go, I imagine it'll go counter to that. Anybody wants defensive thoughts, get them out of your brain. We're taking something on the offensive side of the ball in the first round, and it's non-negotiable for me.
There's a player that if positional importance didn't matter, would be the number 1 pick or number 2 pick in this draft. And it's Caleb Downs. Arvell Reese is going top 5. Reuben Baines is going top 5. I'd be shocked, you know, with 2 quarterbacks going in the top 10. I'd be top 5. I'd be shocked if those 2 guys didn't go. Caleb Downs is going to fall to you. And the genius of Baltimore, and I'm throwing this out there because it could happen.
Yeah.
If you're sitting there between the 3rd rated wide receiver, and I think there are 2 great. I think Tyson and Tate are the 2 potentially great wide receivers. But if you're sitting there at 7, and it's between the 3rd wide receiver or a right tackle and a safety, I think Caleb Downs would take this defense to a ridiculous level.
Wide receiver, tackle. That's all. I'm being close-minded on this one. I just watched our defense be as good as it could possibly be. It doesn't matter. I need offense.
The chat said Nick Wilson is funny AF. Now I'm back.
There you go.
I'm back, baby.
Congratulations, dude. Drop those corn emojis.
Drop that corn, girl.
Drop those corn emojis.
Cornlito. The Browns.
Suck it, Cornlito.
Talks about Shedeur Sanders in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.